What is going on, guys? Welcome back to another episode of the Bayer Performance Podcast. I am your host, Nick Bayer, CEO of Bayer Performance Nutrition, and welcome to another episode. So I just got done knocking out a nice, easy 7 mile run this morning. It is a beautiful Monday here at the Bayer Performance Nutrition HQ. Guys are packing orders, getting orders out from the weekend. Team is on an all-time high, just moving forward with a lot of momentum. And we have some big things coming up, which is what is the core of this podcast episode. What I'm going to be talking about is the evolution of my personal training, going from, you know, bodybuilding, powerlifting, how the military really changed the course of everything in regards of training for me, and how that kind of transitioned into endurance training, Ironman triathlon, marathon training, and maybe I'll drop some hints of what is next and what is in the future as we move forward. But before we dive into that, I want to let you know that in one day from now, on September 1st, 2020, we will be launching the Embrace the Suck training app. Now, this app will host multiple training programs, initially to include a 16-week marathon prep program, a hybrid training program, which is exactly how I train, by incorporating running and weight training into my weekly workouts. And there will be a home training program as well built into there. I'm super, super excited for you guys to dive into the Embrace the Suck training app and start training. I know a lot of people have shown interest in a hybrid style training program. I think one of those reasons is a lot of people have a difficult time balancing running and weight training. And this is just something I've learned over the past decade of my life of training, is how to balance these two, dedicate time to both, excel in both, and find a nice balance between the two. So the hybrid style training program is going to focus on running, weightlifting, dedicated mobility to facilitate improved strength, power output, hypertrophy or size, and endurance and speed and stamina. It's going to be awesome. I can't wait for you guys to dive into that. And then a 16-week marathon prep program includes a beginner version and an intermediate or advanced version. There's different intensities and weekly total mileage for both those programs. And the home training program is if you're on the road, you're traveling, your gym or training facility is closed, you need very little to little equipment or resources to get these done. It's knocking out push-ups, pull-ups, core stuff, running, sprints. So these are the three programs to kick off Embrace the Suck training. I will leave a link in the description of this video where you can sign up for Embrace the Suck training. First month is just $1. You can cancel at any time. After that, it is $15 a month or $99 a year. And if you need help finding that link, you can also go through all my social media platforms. It will be in the bio of my Instagram. It'll be in the description of my YouTube videos. So Embrace the Suck training. There's some really, really cool stuff coming up. And I'm really excited for you guys to dive into that. So that's launching September 1st, which is tomorrow from when the time I'm recording this podcast right now. But that is what's stemming this episode and the evolution of my training. My training it's been all over the place. I think the reason is, one of those, I want to learn as much as possible about fitness, about nutrition, about training. You know, I went to school and I graduated with a Bachelor of Science in Nutrition. And I went to school for nutrition because I wanted to learn more about nutrition. It was a passion of mine. Late in high school, after recovering from an eating disorder and unhealthy relationships with food. And that's what got me into wanting to learn more about nutrition and being able to help people who were also in, you know, similar situations as me when I was younger. And then that kind of transitioned into me joining the military and signing up for an Army ROTC scholarship, and then finding fitness as this true purpose and passion, not just for personal goals, but seeing the way that it can, you know, help other people, influence other people to make positive changes in their life. You know, fitness is that one thing where a lot of people that I've seen personally and from firsthand, that people that make changes in their personal fitness also adapt and make personal changes to other parts of their life, whether that's family, business, their work, taking care of their household, their future goals and ambitions. Because fitness, everything about fitness is establishing a goal, working towards that goal, improving, getting better, finding ways to, you know, create these micro goals to accomplish these bigger goals. And once you accomplish that big goal, it's not like it's, oh, we're done. Let's move on to another hobby. No, with fitness, it's you accomplish a goal. Okay, what's the next bigger goal? And what's the next bigger goal? And what's the next bigger goal? And that's what my evolution looks like. You know, after, and a lot of you guys know this story, but if you don't, I have a whole podcast episode on this. And I really enjoy talking about this because this is a foundation and backbone of my interest and what got me into nutrition and proper training. Is that when I was like 14, 15 years old, I developed a pretty severe eating disorder to the point where I had to be hospitalized. My body was essentially shutting down and I was starving myself. And after starting the recovery from this unhealthy relationship with food and this eating disorder, I found fitness and proper nutrition and learned why the importance of eating enough food is and the right amounts of food and types of food and establishing and building this very healthy relationship with food. And that eating disorder was a pivotal point in my life. And I've had a lot of pivotal points in my life. And I'm a huge advocate of using these pivotal points in your life to make big changes that help you grow, get better. A lot of people have these pivotal points in their life, and it can be a lot of different things. Some people choose the best option from them, and some people choose the worst option from them. Sometimes you are faced with this challenge, this pivotal point in your life. You can either choose to use it to grow, adapt, develop, and get better, or you can go the complete opposite direction and kind of lose track of everything you ever wanted to do or accomplish and soak in your sorrows. We all reach these challenges and these pivotal points in your life. They suck. You know, it's the concept of embracing the suck doesn't have to just be a fitness term. That can be applied to all these different things in your life where you reach these challenges, these hard times, and that's when you pivot. You can either choose to embrace that suck and grow, or let that suck beat you down and diminish, fall into nothing. And from this pivotal point in my life of this eating disorder, that's where I found training and nutrition. I started building this passion from it. I wanted to learn more. And that's what kind of made me sign up for or apply for an Army ROTC scholarship. I wanted to join the military. I knew that would be another great foundational piece of my life. I would learn a lot from that. The experience would be amazing from a personal growth and development standpoint, from a leadership and management standpoint. And I wanted to serve my country. I had this burning desire to serve my country. So there are a lot of reasons and a lot of driving factors behind me wanting to apply for this Army ROTC scholarship and join the military after college. And I was awarded this scholarship. So I was grateful and fortunate that I received the scholarship. I went to the Indiana University of Pennsylvania on this Army ROTC scholarship with a military obligation after graduating, and I was going to study nutrition because I wanted to learn more about it. This burning passion, desire made me want to learn as much as possible about training and proper nutrition. And when I got to college, you know, a little bit before college, but when I got to college, I really got into bodybuilding. You show up to a college gym, and if any of you guys listening are currently in college or recently graduated from college or at some point graduated from college, college gyms breed this bodybuilding lifestyle. From at least where I found in Western Pennsylvania, down near Pittsburgh at IUP and the other college gyms I've been to, it's you walk in and it's a bunch of guys and girls who want to get stronger, want to look better, want to be more fit, want to feel better, want to put on some size and strength. And that environment that culture, that those people that I was surrounding myself with and just and seeing that every day, that's what really got me into bodybuilding. And I wanted to put on as much size, strength. I wanted to eat as much as possible, lift as much as possible. And I fell into this bodybuilding lifestyle where it was the traditional eat chicken, rice, and broccoli every 3 hours. I would skip classes sometimes to go to the gym. I'd be hitting, you know, 1 to 2 workouts a day. And I just lived and loved the bodybuilding lifestyle. A lot of hypertrophy movements, some powerlifting, some compound movements, but a lot of the movements were to facilitate the growth of muscle, build size, develop size. And I did this all through college. And it got to a point where I decided I wanted to compete. I wanted to test myself and compete in bodybuilding to see if this is something I want to keep pursuing, not so much as a hobby in the gym, but make it a sport, you know, compete. So me and my brother, you know, at the time I was probably 22 years old. I was a junior in college. My brother was, he might have been a freshman in college. Yeah, he was a freshman in college. I was a junior in college. And we both signed up for the same bodybuilding competition. It was in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. We dieted down for, I believe, 16 weeks. And this is where I first learned to track my nutrition and track macros and calories. And over this time period, you know, thinking back, I might have had to cut 25 pounds. And I had this plan in place. And I started learning how to track my nutrition, track my progress, set up my posing routine, and get ready for peak week moving into the show. So many stories, so many lessons learned through that whole experience. I mean, just to share a few, I remember I had to get a tan. And I shared this story in my book, 25 Hours a Day. I had to get a tan, a spray tan, the week before, or a few days before the show. So I booked this spray tan in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, because I didn't want to do a spray tan anywhere around my college. Pittsburgh at the time was like 45 minutes to an hour away from my college. So I booked this spray tan appointment, you know, where I didn't think I'd see anyone from my college. So I make the appointment. It was like Friday afternoon, I think. And I drive down to Pittsburgh. Never experienced anything like this in my life before, so I didn't know what to expect. Drive down to Pittsburgh, and the lady shows me into the room. She says, "All right, get undressed. We'll be in here in like 3 minutes, and we'll be ready to spray you down," because I was getting a full body spray. So I just assumed. She said, "Take your clothes off." I said, "Okay." So I walk into this room, take all my clothes off. Take my shirt off, pants off, socks off, boxers off. I'm butt-ass naked in this room. The room was cold. All right, keep that in mind. The room was freezing. And I hear the door opening up. I'm standing there, ready for my spray tan. Lady walks in. She goes, "Sir, we have a pants policy here." There I am, butt-ass naked, making direct eye contact with this woman who's telling me, "Sir, you have to put your pants back on." I didn't know. I never got a spray tan before. So she closes the door, put my boxers back on, hike them up a little bit so, you know, it fits where like the posing trunks would be. She comes back in, completes the spray tan, the most awkward like 10 minutes of my life as she's spraying me. Didn't talk at all. I walked down to there, felt defeated, completely defeated and embarrassed. Drive back to IEP to finish off the last peak week of prep moving into the show. That was one of the experiences with my bodybuilding prep. But it was a great experience. I mean, overall, it was an amazing experience. I learned a lot about my body and how to manipulate nutrition to reach a certain body fat goal. I got really, really lean. I mean, I was diced. And I remember I got so lean and my calories were lower. My energy was just sucking, you know, the last couple weeks of prep. And I remember if I would stand up too fast, I would like, you know, see black dots everywhere because I was getting so lean. My energy was so depleted. I was just worn out, but I looked absolutely diced and shredded. But I learned a lot about my body, my mental capacity, what the body can handle, and how to manipulate training and nutrition to reach a specific goal. I loved the process. I loved everything about the process. But after that show, I realized bodybuilding, or at least competing in bodybuilding, wasn't exactly for me. I have complete respect for the sport, complete respect for the people that do it. But I realized that it wasn't exactly what I wanted to keep doing. I wanted to train for size, for strength, but I didn't want to do it to stand on stage. So after that, my training kind of changed a little bit to focus more on strength. And I started moving more into powerlifting and, you know, working up towards heavy deadlifts and bench press and squats. And I put a lot of emphasis on training for strength. And I get to a point where I deadlifted 700 pounds in our gym here in the HQ, the BPN HQ. We had this big event at the warehouse, and I figured this was going to be the day that I wanted to deadlift 700 pounds. It was what I was working towards for a long time, and I accomplished that. I deadlifted 700 pounds in front of probably 100 people in the gym we had, and I was hyped and psyched. And at that point, my training was more so in like a power building phase where I was focusing on building size, but building strength. I was adding a lot of bodybuilding movements into my training, a lot of powerlifting. The only running I was really doing was in the Army. I mean, at this point, I'm active duty military. And this was, you know, after going through my initial training in Fort Benning, Georgia. This was after Ranger School, where I lost all my muscle, all my size, all my strength. I mean, I remember coming out of Ranger School, throwing 135 pounds in the bench press, trying to do that and not being able to knock that down at all. I was so weak and fatigued and depleted after Ranger School, I had nothing left. And after I built back up from that, and I was stationed in Fort Hood, Texas, got back into, you know, bodybuilding and powerlifting, and I was, you know, that's when I pulled 700 pounds. And I was running still, but I was only running with the military. You know, I would do my running at PT in the morning. And at this time, to give some context to, you know, where I was at in my life, this is around 2015, 2016. And I'm an infantry platoon leader at Fort Hood, Texas. So I had about 40 infantry guys in my platoon. We were doing PT, physical training, every morning, Monday through Friday. Some of those workouts would be a combination of running. Some would be body weight movements like push-ups, pull-ups, circuits, workouts with water cans. You know, we changed it up every week. But the intent of physical training in the morning was to increase the soldiers' readiness for missions and to complete and excel in the Army physical fitness test, which was 2 minutes of push-ups, 2 minutes of sit-ups, and a two-mile run. And the goal was to keep improving the soldiers' ability to perform at a higher level in terms of being mission ready and for their physical fitness tests. So me as an infantry platoon leader, you would think, because I loved, you know, training for size and strength, we were going to focus more on size and strength for PT. And as a platoon leader, it is my job to oversee PT, but the non-commissioned officers, the squad leaders, the team leaders, my platoon sergeant, they plan and execute PT. So it was, you know, we had a really great culture and environment in my platoon where me and my non-commissioned officers, NCOs, we worked very closely on everything, but especially physical fitness training in the morning, because this was such a huge passion of mine. And one of the things our platoon did more than a lot of other platoons is we ran a lot. And we ran a lot because I identified it was a lot of soldiers' weaknesses, not just in my platoon, but the Army as a whole. So we would do, we would do intervals, like 400 meter, 800 meter sprints. We would do fartlek runs. We would do longer distance runs. You know, we only had so much time to run in the morning because with warm up and cool down, we could get maybe 5 to 6 miles in. Sometimes we would do ability group runs. So based off of your paces, you'd be put in an ability group run, Alpha, Bravo, Charlie, Alpha being the fastest, Bravo being the middle pack, Charlie being the slower group, so that we could work with each one of those groups specifically with the intent of moving them up. So for example, if someone starts in Charlie group, they're slower. The goal is to eventually move them to the Bravo running group and then the Alpha running group. But I loved physical fitness training in the morning because we focused a lot on running. So for my personal goals, I was able to focus on running, which then helped me do better on the physical fitness test. And it also helped our soldiers perform better on the physical fitness test. But I found this really enjoyable passion about early morning runs in the Army. You know, that's something that's still built in my life now. And I think that joy started when I was a platoon leader in the infantry, Fort Hood, Texas. When, you know, at that point in my life, my routine was I'd wake up, drive right into work. We'd have a morning meeting with company leadership around 6 a.m. And then by 6:30, we're starting morning PT. And I would do it fasted. We would run with a platoon. The environment was awesome. The energy was awesome. The culture was great. And I loved that. And I missed that when I got out of the military. But that's where like my cardio and endurance training really started to fall into place. It started to build. And it's funny because, you know, as my contract with the military was coming up, and at this point, you know, I'm training for size and strength on my own personal time. In the morning at PT, we're running, we're doing body weight training, push-ups, pull-ups, stuff like that. And when I transitioned out of the military in 2017, I remember, and I'm sure some of you guys have seen this video, this YouTube video. In this YouTube video, I say, last day in the Army, guys, I am never running a day in my life again. And it's funny. It's funny if you know what my training kind of looks like right now. I run every single day, sometimes twice a day. But I did. I said that. I said in a video, I'm not running a day in my life ever again. I'm just going to focus on getting bigger and stronger. And I'm going to eat to facilitate those goals. Well, when I transitioned out of the military, I thought that's what I wanted. You know, part of me missed pushing myself in endurance and cardio. You know, there's a feeling you get from running miles. There's a feeling you get from pushing yourself on some intervals and tempo and threshold workouts. That feeling can't be replicated by lifting weights, in my personal opinion, in the way that I train, the way that I feel. There's this high you get, these endorphins that are released from running that can't be replicated in the gym. It just can't. Not even on a treadmill. And I felt that really fast when I transitioned down. You know, I transitioned out of the Army. I missed one, the platoon. I missed the culture. I missed the camaraderie and the environment. And I missed the training. I missed the running that I was doing when I was in. And within a year of being out, I signed up for my first marathon. I decided I need this back in my life. I need to keep running, not just for cardiovascular health, not just for overall fitness. I missed that functional aspect of being a hybrid athlete, hybrid being, you know, being a runner and then also being able to go to the gym and train for bodybuilding, train some powerlifting movements, being able to go do some sprints or run up to 10 miles plus. I missed that when I was in, and transitioning out, it hit me really hard. So within a year of being out, I signed up for that first marathon, the Austin Marathon. And this is in 2018. I signed up for that marathon. and my time was at 3:57, sub 4 hours. Didn't know what I was doing training-wise. Didn't have a plan. Every day I would just wake up, go out and do a few miles. Didn't even have a GPS watch. I wouldn't track anything. Didn't know my paces. I didn't know anything. I just went out and ran. Ran based off of perceived effort and how I was doing. You know, the weekends I would do a long run. During the weeks, I would do easy, slower, shorter runs. But I didn't track anything, which is crazy to think because now my training is so different where everything's tracked. My distance is tracked. My pace is tracked. My heart rate is tracked. I have mental notes on my perceived effort and exertion for those runs. But 2018, for that first marathon, there was no training plan. I just went out and ran. And during this time, I'm still training for size and strength. Actually, at this time, I was training for a marathon. I was doing CrossFit movements. I was training bodybuilding. I was training powerlifting. I reached a level of overtraining during this time. The amount of times I was training a day was insane. I reached a level of overtraining where I remember I was a few weeks out from the marathon and I was completing another workout for the day. It's like my second workout. It was probably like 10:30 p.m. at night after the workday was over. And I'm sitting in the gym and I remember just feeling so fatigued and beat down. I had no energy. I had no libido. My diet didn't feel right. I felt like I wasn't losing weight, even though I was in a caloric deficit. I was holding on to body fat. I couldn't sleep. I reached an intense level of overtraining in 2018. And I felt it hard. You know, I had to take some time off before the marathon. And by the time the marathon was ready to go, I was feeling better. And I ran it just below a sub 4 hour marathon for my first one. And after that, went back to bodybuilding, powerlifting. And I didn't run for, you know, a few weeks, maybe a few months. And then I got the itch again. You know, now it's 2019. I said, you know, I'm going to sign up for the marathon again. And I signed up for the Austin Marathon once again. But this time I hired a coach. And I put all my trust in this coach at the time. And I was still, again, I was trying to balance full bodybuilding, full powerlifting, and a lot more volume of running under this coach's guidance. And this marathon, I actually ran worse. I ran a 4 hour and 15 minute marathon because I wasn't running correctly under that coach's guidance. That coach had me running a lot for paces. We weren't paying any attention to slow, easy runs. We weren't paying attention to any heart rate stuff or perceived effort. It was all pace-based with the intent of running faster for a goal of a faster marathon. And it was all wrong looking back. You know, I've learned a lot over the years through personal experience. It's one thing to read a book on training. It's one thing to get a degree in training. It's one thing for someone to tell you about training. But until you actually put yourself through it and experiment, that's where you really see the practical application of proper training protocols. And under this coach's guidance in 2019, I wasn't really happy with the results because we weren't training correctly. So I ran a 4 hour and 15 minute marathon that year. Fast forward a little bit, and in between this time, I'm training for size and strength still, bodybuilding, powerlifting. I did a few ruck marches. I did the Bataan Memorial Death March, which is a 26.2-mile ruck march in the White Sands, New Mexico. That's where like my itch of endurance training started coming back. I just wanted to suck. I wanted to hurt. You know, it's something about endurance. This probably comes from my time in the military, maybe Ranger School, Infantry Officer Basic Course, some ruck marches we did as a company and a platoon. There's something about doing a long distance endurance event where you're just fucking sucking that I'm attracted to. I love the feeling. I love the feeling of being beat down and tested when you're hungry, you're tired, you're fatigued, you feel like you got nothing left in the tank, but you got to drive through it. I thoroughly enjoy that feeling. I love it. and I search for it often. You know, I love embracing the suck. And that's what that ruck march was for me. And that 26.2 mile ruck march, White Sands, New Mexico, is something I've done twice now. And unfortunately, this past year was canceled due to COVID-19. But I'm looking forward to 2021 and the Bataan Memorial Death March because it's such an amazing event that beats you down, but brings people together and truly tests you physically and mentally. And after I do this event, I'm still training, I'm building more endurance back into my life. I'm running more, I'm rucking more, still training in the gym. I got to a point where, you know, I ended up on the Ironman Triathlon website one day. And I'm just looking around, and I'm next to Steph, and it's a crazy story because I was on the couch after finishing a 100-mile ruck march next to Steph, and I thought for sure that my feet were broken. We were debating on whether or not to go to the hospital because I could not walk on my feet because I just finished a 100-mile ruck, and I was in some deep misery and some deep pain. And while we were contemplating going to the hospital, I ended up on the Ironman website, ended up committing to and signing up for the Ironman right there without really knowing what an Ironman was. You know, I saw clips of Ironman triathlons growing up. I've seen people talk about it before. However, I never really understood or knew what it was all about. But I committed and signed up to it because I knew it sucked. I knew it was hard. I knew it was going to push me. And I knew I was going to find so much joy out of all of that. So I sign up. I find out the Ironman is a 2.4-mile swim, 112-mile bike, and a 26.2-mile run. Like I've always said, I love learning things by doing them. It's a humbling experience, but it is such an amazing experience and a way to learn. I love learning by submerging myself in the content and the experience and being forced to learn through failures, through mess ups, through wins and losses. So I start training for this Ironman. I find a coach, Triathlon Taren, find a local bike shop, and they help me. Blur Cycle Works here in Round Rock, Texas, helped me get my bike set up, taught me some things about cycling, and I started training. And training for the Ironman Triathlon was another humbling experience. Man, it was life-changing. It was a pivotal point in my life again where I felt like I was learning fitness all over again. You know, you got CrossFit, you got bodybuilding, you got powerlifting, you got running, cycling, swimming, triathlon, endurance training, trail running, yoga, like all these different types of fitness. And each person has a personal preference, which is great. That's the best part about fitness. Is just because you love fitness doesn't mean you're put in a box. That can mean so many things. That can be just hiking or just walking. Everyone can find what they enjoy in fitness and fully execute for their personal goals and what they love to do. I'm the type of person that I kind of want to try it all. I want to find out what I love about certain things, what I hate about certain things. And this Ironman triathlon was such a humbling experience where it opened my mind to this new style of training that I fell in love with. It was different. It was diverse. It was complex, yet simple. Some days I was swimming. Some days I was cycling for 6 hours. Some days I was doing an intense workout on the trainer. Sometimes I was running once a day for an hour. Some days I was running an hour after a 6-hour bike ride. Some days I was running twice a day. It was always different, and it was so much fun. And I look forward to my next Ironman prep. I really do, because I learned a lot from that. And that's what really flipped the switch in my mind where I wanted to add even more endurance training into my routine. You know, my endurance training for Ironman, that started in, it was May-June timeframe of 2019. And the Ironman itself was in November of 2019. And as soon as that Ironman was done, I finished my Ironman after 6 months of training in Panama City, Florida, with a time of 11 hours and 28 minutes, which I was very happy with. I was shooting for sub 13 hours, and the Ironman event itself, such an amazing experience. Like the energy of that environment. You know, we started Panama City on the beach. Show up the beach. It's very quiet. It's calm. It's dark. This is before the sun rises. And as the sun is rising, this is when swimmers start going to the water, into the ocean. You'd swim 0.6 miles out, 0.6 back. 0.6 out, 0.6 back. And that morning, getting ready to go for that swim, that I will remember that for the rest of my life. The way it smelled, the way I felt, the energy in the air, the camaraderie between all the racers. I remember like my dad being there and Steph being there and my brother and Steph's mom. And it was just such an amazing experience that starting on the beach before sunrise, man, like life-changing. It was awesome. And that Ironman was such a great experience that I learned so much from. So I ended that with 11 hours and 28 minutes. And as soon as the Ironman was done, you know, we're driving back in the car the next day. We drove to Florida from Texas. I think it was like a 12-hour drive, maybe a 13-hour drive. We drove from Texas to Florida, to Panama City, completed the Ironman. You know, we got there a few days early. I ended up getting back to our Airbnb after the Ironman, maybe at like 9 p.m. at night, and we were up the next morning, 5:30 a.m., on the road driving back to Texas. And I remember driving, being so sore, thinking, what's next? Like, what do I want to do next? I remember Steph telling me, hey, let's just rest and recover. But in my mind, I'm thinking, I want to sign up for the next thing already. I want to choose the next goal. I'm ready. I'm hungry. I got momentum. Let's go. Let's do it. And the next thing was, I want to run a sub 3-hour marathon. And this was in November. And the marathon that I decided I wanted to attempt first at was the Austin Marathon in February. Now, I knew this was going to be a massive undertaking, for one, because of the time restraints. I mean, there was only, you know, December, January, like less than 3 months of training to do that. I ran my marathon at the Ironman in 4 hours and 4 minutes. And to be able to run a sub 3-hour marathon at the Austin Marathon was a massive undertaking. But I wanted to see, you know, how close I could get to it. And I ended up training for that and running a 3-hour and 24-minute marathon, which obviously improvements from my previous marathons, but I wasn't really happy with. I went into that race with a bad race plan and awful execution, and I was running with emotion. I wasn't running smart. Also, another great learning experience. Great learning experience. These pivotal points, man, whether you win or lose, you can grow from these challenges, and you always learn something. You will always learn from these opportunities. I will always take on an opportunity, whether I'll win or lose in certain situations, because I know I can pivot from those and grow and develop and get better. I can always choose to grow and develop from these pivotal points, these challenges. And yeah, that's kind of where it leads us to right now, where we're in the midst of COVID-19, where there's no races. I signed up for four marathons after the Austin Marathon, all being canceled. And that break of marathons kind of allowed me to fall into my love of hybrid style training, of still building in weightlifting and compound movements and training for strength and size, as well as running as an endurance athlete. You know, I'm running every day. Like I said, I ran this 7 miles this morning. I have 8 miles tomorrow. About 80% of my runs are slow, easy volume mileage runs. 20% of my runs during the week are intense workouts, like tempo runs or thresholds or intervals. I'll go to the track. So I follow the 80-20 rule, 80% being easy, slow mileage, 20% being intense workouts for my endurance training. But I cannot imagine a life where I'm not, at least in terms of my fitness life, where I'm not training for endurance and training for size and strength. I love the balance of the two. Obviously, they kind of take away from one another. If I want to be the best endurance athlete in the world, training for size and strength is going to, you know, limit that ability. If I'm trying to be the biggest, strongest guy in the world, obviously training for endurance is going to limit that ability. But the way I love to train personally, and I know a lot of other people do, is a hybrid style approach. I want to be able to run. Like yesterday, I went and ran 11 miles downtown Austin. I want to be able to do that for the rest of my life comfortably. I want to be able to come in the gym, throw some weights around, you know, bench press, squat, deadlift, bicep curl, push-ups for days, pull-ups for days. That's a training I love. That's what I want to do for the rest of my life, that hybrid style approach. And that's what Embrace the Suck training is all about. That's why it was built. That's why it was developed. It's my evolution of training over time. It's reached so many different types of training. And I think it was necessary for me to find what I truly love. I'm not the type of person that someone's going to tell me, you would love this, you would love that. I'll take that opinion and that input, but I'm going to go test it. I'm going to find what I do love, what I do hate about certain styles of fitness or training or anything really. And now I'm at a point where when this next marathon opens up and I train for and I accomplish that sub 3-hour goal, but we're just going to move on to a bigger and harder and more difficult goal. And I have a few in my head right now that I'm not going to quite leak yet. I do want to train for another Ironman at some point, but there are some goals in my head that we will focus on after I accomplish this sub 3-hour marathon. But they're big, they're difficult, they're challenging, but I know that when I do it and I train for it and I chase it and I accomplish it, it's going to be another pivotal point in my life that I grow and develop from. Embrace the Suck training launches September 1st. Like I said, you can find the links in the description of this video, or you can also find them in my social media platforms. So guys, thanks for tuning in. Another episode of the Bear Performance Podcast. We'll see you guys later. As always, go one more.